Good evening. Good to see all of you here. Good to have an opportunity to be in the house of God tonight. The March calendars are out. They're over here on this side, March calendars. There's one thing we do need to add that's not on here, and it's a decision I made today. On the 12th, Sunday evening on the 12th after church, we will have a strawberry shortcake sale. Donation taken, fellowship for the junior campers. That's March the 12th, Sunday evening. Any of the kids, all the funds will go to the junior campers there. So if we could help me remember that, add it to the bulletin as well, by the gym. That's on the 12th, Sunday evening the 12th, after church, in the evening hour. Strawberry shortcake sale. That's what we're going to be doing. Tomorrow night. I don't understand this note. Is this note for me?
No,
it's
for Friday.
Oh, I wasn't understanding it. Okay. I forgot to write Aunt Merton or Uncle Rick a thank you note. I was like, oh, Lord. I know I'm getting cuckoo. I said, I couldn't figure that one out at all. All right, I'll save this for Briley. Threw me for a loop. I don't even know what to preach now. All right, let's go to the Word of God, and let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I was thinking about the kids all this week, praying for them. Many of the kids are taking their test this week. I forget what it's called, the FACC test. F-A what? F-S-A? F, they're taking some tests called the F-S-A. And I know some of our older kids are taking pre-SATs and SATs and ACTs. All kind of tests. So I thought about some tests that will help us as Christians. Certainly we go through tests and trials. That's for sure. I know what I want to tell you. If you're a Sunday school teacher, your books are on the back pew back there on the right. Thinking about tests or these books. So if you're a Sunday school teacher, on the back pew on the right side, your curriculum came in if you was needing it down there. So we take all kind of tests. told my wife we needed to go to the eye doctor. They said when you get past 40, you need to go to the eye doctor. So I waited until I was almost 49. I thought that'd be a good time. 9 years past 40. Didn't need no extended warranty or nothing. But they ran all kind of tests. And my wife and I both, we had an appointment together. She was in one room, I was in the other. And we took all kind of tests. We'll take Brother Bill, had a spring last month about some tests he was having run. Some of you might take some more physical type tests, doctor testing to see if you're okay. But we need to be careful. We're always taking spiritual tests. Take a chance to see where we are spiritually and how things are going. For us in that manner. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, here's some tests that we can take. We're just going to run over them and see. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there's actually five of them. I'm not sure we'll get to all five, actually six. But we'll get as far as we can on these tests tonight so we can get the kids back on the bus, back home so they can rest and they can wake up in the morning and take their tests that they're prepared for. Someone said they didn't get to take their test today. The computers were down. I thought it'd probably be good to have a backup system if you was at school, like a pencil and paper. 2 Corinthians 8, look at verse 2. The Bible says here in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we, would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he had would also finish in you the same grace also. Verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and your love to us, see that you abound in the grace, in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. One thing that we, it's got to be a necessary test for all of us as Christians, especially in the world we live in. I mean, we're living in a world that's, it's just hard. I mean, there's hatefulness and crime and treachery just all, every day. You turn on the news, you wake up in the morning, turn on the news, and you know, many of you are on different social media outlets, and you're looking, and it's just flooding. And it's just flooding all the pain, the suffering, the heartache that goes on around about us. You know, thank God for systems that they have come up with, like the Amber Alert system. You know, they have the new one, the Silver Alert system. These are good systems, but I tell you, sometimes my phone, they got it tied in some way on my phone. It just starts beeping. I mean, loud. And they're sending an alert, and that there's either a senior citizen that has not come home, or there's a child that's in danger. And you see this, and it's constant. I mean, it's rolling over and through different. I'll tell you, sometimes it's difficult for us to love like we should, love properly. It is a necessary test for us to take daily towards God. You know, how is my love toward God? He said here in verse 8 that we should prove the sincerity of your love. First and foremost, dear friend, the greatest of all commandments. I know that there's countless and countless of commandments throughout the Word of God. But the greatest, love the Lord thy God. How is your love toward God? You know, test yourself. Figure it out. You know, see how you are loving God. And then toward man. Toward fellow man. And, you know, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. But we are commanded throughout Scripture to have a love for our fellow man, for God, for our brother and sister in Christ. We also are commanded to love our enemies. I mean, these are tests that we need to check out. We need to constantly. This is probably the number one test for Christians in our Christian life, is to check daily. How is my love toward God? How is my love toward man? You know, if the Bible says in 1 John that if I see my brother in need and I shut up my bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in me? Well, that's a great test. We need to look and see. We need to see how it is, and you know, how are we loving one another? You say, well, man, preacher, there's this particular person. There's a lot. They just rubbed me the wrong way. You know, and that'd be about the time right then you need to hit the ground humbly, hit the knees humbly before God, because God says that we are unprofitable servants at our very best. You imagine how that person rubs you and gets under your skin, you know, and how they get next to you. Imagine how our sin gets next to God. He says it's a smell in his nostrils that is like putrefied, rotten rags that come up into his nostrils, just our sin. And yet, whenever he looks at us as his children, he looks at us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his son to die an awful, shameful sin, death for our sin, that he might be buried and rise again the third day. That if any person would just realize their need for God and a relationship with Him and realize their sinful state and turn to God by faith and repentance toward God and say, God, I have gone the wrong direction. I have lived a sorry life. I have lived contrary to Your commandments. I am a sinner by nature. God, I have tried religion. I have tried good. I have tried morality. I have tried hatefulness and meanness. I've tried good works. But Lord, I need Jesus Christ and Him alone. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. And when we have come to that point, we trust Christ, turning from ourselves, turning from our way, repentance, and turning towards God in His way. Listen, He says, I will save you to the uttermost. And He loves us. He never once said that I had to be good, I had to get right, I had to be a moral person. He says, listen, the Bible says in Romans, He says, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. We need to test out our love daily. Test it. I mean, look, God, how is it? Well, what do you mean, Pastor? What is there anything in between you and God? Has God shown you and revealed to you through His Word, through the Spirit of God living in you, that there are certain things that you need to let go? Some of it is your past. Some of you are holding on to your past so strongly and will not let go of your past that you cannot love God. You're saying to God, God, Your love for me was not enough to cover my past. Well, it's enough, dear friend. Amen. The blood of Jesus covers all sin. Some of you are holding on to your future like it's all yours. You know, we're not promised tomorrow morning. We're not promised that tomorrow will be here. You're holding on to everything you can to secure your future. Listen, God's for work. He says if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than the infidel. The Bible talks about in Proverbs that a good man brings inheritance for his children and his children's children. God's not for you not thinking about tomorrow. God wants you to think about tomorrow. But He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things, we need to check it out and see, Lord, what am I doing? Am I loving You properly? And then our fellow man, some of you are holding on to grudges that you have had for 30 years now. I mean, you just will not let go. Somebody did you wrong in junior high school. And you can't get past it, can't get beyond it. My friend, you got to let go of that thing and become, we've got to get to the point where we look at each other, look at people through the eyes of Christ, and we love them like God. The greatest of all commandments is love God. And the second is like unto Him, to love our neighbor. We got to put that to the test. We got to check it out. Go with me to John chapter 15. John 15. So another test. The love test is necessary. It's something we need to do constantly. I mean, constantly. There's the obedience test. There was two brothers in the Word of God in the New Testament, the Gospels. And the father told one to go do this, and he said, I ain't doing it. And it's not like I'm telling you. It's a little different. I'm just, so you understand. He said, I ain't doing it. The other brother come in, and he said, son, will you go do this? Oh, yes, Dad, I'm going to go do it. I'll take care of that. I'm right on it. No problem. He took his fishing rod, went on down to the creek, didn't say nothing about it. His words had pleased the father. The other son stepped outside the yard, probably looked out there at that barn, had them cows and the pigs, and looked out there and said, man, that feeds me every day. That was wrong with me. He went right over and got to work. Got busy. Fixed whatever Dad had asked. I don't know if fence row, I forget what it was, if it was paint the barn, whatever it was, he went right out there and he said, Lord, I am sorry. Got busy doing it. Which one obeyed? I'm to be honest with you, sometimes I've looked at Scripture and I've seen Scripture and I've read it and I said, Lord, I can't do that. That is, I just can't. I like what I'm doing, and I really don't see nothing wrong with it. You know, the Bible says, if your heart condemn you. And I just go out there and get busy doing it, and the Lord says, huh? You know what's wrong with it, son? You're holding on to it more than you're loving me. You won't let go of that, and you won't obey me. See, everything that we get involved with is not necessarily sinful in its own. But anything that God has asked us to release and to give Him more of whatever we have, more of our heart, more of our life, more of our time, and we have that, and we don't, different, we're not being obedient. And you can't say to God that I love you with all my heart if you're not being obedient. John chapter number 15. The Gospel of John chapter 15. Y'all see how quiet them kids are sitting? And they say kids can't sit in church. Isn't that amazing? Take kids off, stick them in a corner, and put them in a romper room, and wonder why at 18 when they get into a real church, say, man, this is church? No, I've been to church. We play jacks. Church is around the Word of God. Man, that's how quiet they sit. They sit quiet with some of your adults. Maybe we'll get y'all some coloring books. John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that you may that my joy might remain in you. Well, I tell you what, I enjoy the joy of the Lord. It's something that cannot be removed from you. It cannot be taken away. The joy of the Lord. No man is stronger than God to take that joy. But boy, we sure sometimes turn to other things for happiness, don't we? There's a difference in joy and happiness. Real difference. And that your joy may be full. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man hath laid down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. If ye do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants. The servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. There's a love test. And to test that love is that obedience test. You gotta see, if you're not being obedient, listen, that's practical Christian living. Practical Christian living, the test is for practical Christian living. Am I doing what the Word of God says? You know, the Bible says to be a Christian, that means we are Christ-like. Christian, little Christ, we're Christ-like. And, you know, a lot of times people have brought up the thing, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Great, great thing. It's a good thing to know what Jesus would do. But knowing what Jesus would do and doing what Jesus would do is a completely different thing. Knowing it. The Bible says this, happy are you if you do it. Happy. It's not enough just to know. You know how you love God? Because you're keeping His commandments. You know how you love your neighbor? Because you're being obedient to the commandments of the Word of God. That's practical Christian living. That's the faith test. How is my faith? How is it? Well, I'm obeying the Word. Your faith is increased, is enlarged, and it's emboldened by the Word of God. By the Word of God. We put it into practice, into practical life. Living. We're not commanded to get all the Word of God in between our ears and go hide off in a mountain somewhere. We're commanded to study the Scripture, to live out Scripture, to be obedient to Scripture, and live according to faith. That is what we're commanded to do. How are you doing that on a daily basis? Say, preacher, I ain't doing too good on a daily basis. Neither am I. I'll be honest with you. There's some days in my life as a man of God As a Christian, I have to say to my flesh, today we're going to fight. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And I say, Lord, we're going to have a battle. And I tell you which one wins. The one I feed the most. If I feed the spiritual man more, he is going to win out. But if I keep on just putting aside the Word of God, putting aside kindness, putting aside a godly conversation, if I keep on putting aside the things that mean something to God, that are important to God, and I keep on indulging in the carnality of the flesh and carnality of life, dear friend, listen, I will not endure the battle of the day. Now, I don't know, maybe you're so far spiritual that just you have a battle a week. Maybe you're so spiritual you have a battle a month. Maybe you're so spiritual you have a battle of year. Perhaps you're just so carnal the devil don't come around. There is no battle because he's got you where he wants you. Doing absolutely what you want to do and not what God wants you to do. You know, the Bible says that there's a time and day when every man will do that which is right in his own eyes. Where are we at today? Everybody's turning around. This is wrong and that is wrong. And they'll take truth and twist it and take the Word of God and twist it. And they'll say, this is wrong, this is right. And back and forth, twist, 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 twist. Calling that which is right wrong and that which is wrong right. That's where we are. We're there. And there is no way to endure this battle which we in. And we got to test. We got to test ourselves out at the end of the day. How did I do in this battle? Today's battle. It's a day-by-day thing. I read a little bit thing the other day from John Maxwell. It said this, a 1,000-mile journey begins in one step. Brother Victor is reminding me time and time again. Brother Victor Russell is reminding me time and time again. Pastor, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, Pastor. That's it. It's one step. Listen. I'm not going to stand here and tell you tomorrow evening by about 3 o'clock you hadn't failed. But you can stand up and rise again because a righteous man falls 7 times and rises yet again.
Amen.
You got to endure. Endure. How do you do that? With a singleness of purpose. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 6 in verses 19 to 24 and verse 33. Can a man serve two masters? It's impossible. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. First. Revelation says you have lost your first love. Singleness of purpose. What's my purpose? Whether absent or present, I might please Him. I might please Him. You better get to the point, dear friend, that you are more willing to please God than all these friends, all these people, cohorts, all these people around us. Because I tell you this, if you please God, the heart of the king is in God's hand. I'm to be honest with you, there's going to be those around you. They're going to be happy, Brother Paul, while you're pleasing God. They're going to be upset with you. But if you keep on pleasing God, God can even calm that storm. I guarantee you this. You leave God out of the equation and start pleasing a man, dear friend, you're in a big heap of trouble. Big heap of trouble. So you have the test of love, test of obedience, the test of practical faith, the test of endurance, the test of singleness of purpose. What is my purpose? And the purity of life. Test. Purity of life. 1 John chapter 3. We're almost done. I didn't think I'd get all the way down to verse to point 6 tonight, but I guess I did. Some of you are probably thinking I've said too much already. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 8. Purity of life. You know what? Understand this. it's not what society says what's right. It's not what culture says what's right. It's not what family says what's right. Not what tradition that says what's right that is always right. Now listen, society can go right. Culture can go right. Family can go right. Tradition can go right as long as they're founded on the foundation of the Word of God. That's the only way that's going to be right. This one says here, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For the purpose of the Son was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit a sin, for this seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Behold, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever ye ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Excuse me. The love test. The obedience test. Practical faith test. The endurance test. The singleness of purpose test. The purity of life test. Dear friend, if you are saved and the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, the Holy Spirit of God will convict your heart of what's pure and what's not. And how's he going to do that? By the Word of God. Listen, you don't need a theologian. You don't need a theological degree. You have the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you. And if you're not living a pure life, and it doesn't line up with this Word, it's you that needs to deal with God and your life. These are tests that we've got to do. If not, dear friend, we're just going to fall off. We're not going to make a difference. If I don't live a pure life, there is no one who wants to come up. Listen, not one of you right now want to come up and drink out of that water I just drunk out of. You heard me coughing, you heard me choking, you hear me suck. I keep sucking up something. None of you. Why? Because it's not pure anymore. Wait a minute, I only took one little sip. One little sip I just took. And surely you won't get a cold. You won't even want to come up and shake my hand. You'll be putting your elbow out, fist bumping, running out the door. Why? Because there's something in me that's not right now. I believe it's ragweed from outside the yard. I don't think it's a cold. But My heart tells me there's something wrong. If your heart condemns you, you need to get along with God. Say, God, I failed the purity test. I'm not right with you. I'm not right with your word. Lord, I want to be right with you. I want to be right with you. Father, I love you. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for our church and for the people that you have sent our way. God, for the bus routes and the Discovery Club and those that work in our Sunday school departments and our choir, our youth choir, and youth zone. Lord, for those that labor in the nursery and clean up around the bathrooms and the auditoriums, and Lord, in the print shop and all the laborers that you sent our way. God, help us as a church to do some daily tests. At least weekly, Lord, look at our lives and evaluate where we are in these areas which we talked about tonight. God, we want to make a difference as a church. But if we just look just like the world, act like the world, and live like the world, how in the world are we going to show the light, the pure light of the gospel, if we live and act just like everybody else? God, we are your children. Help us, Lord, to live according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you dismissed? Youth choir, do you need them? Hey, are you dismissed? Bus riders, please come quickly down to the front.